Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1051 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1051, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative McCauley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable members of this House, you'll find on your desk a bill brief for House Bill 1051. I'll keep my remarks short on this brief. I don't need to tell you about the horrors of child abuse. We see it every day on TV. We read about it in the papers, on the radio. The good people of South Dakota have sent us here to do something about it. Our job is to make sure that child abuse does not happen. And when it does, our job is to make sure that justice is swift and the punishment fits the crime. The shortcoming of the present law is that we treat all children the same presently without regard to age. House Bill 1051 changes this in that it's going to increase the penalty for child abuse to any child 7 years old or younger. The proposed change would increase the penalty from a Class 4 felony to a Class 3 felony, as well as Part 2 or Section 2 of the bill would make felony child abuse a crime of violence. Under present law, the average sentence for a child for felony child abuse is 8 years and 2 months. As such, under present law, a convicted felon of child abuse is eligible for parole after only serving 2 years and 2 weeks, or 25% of the sentence. As a result of changing felony child abuse to a crime of violence, the convicted child abuser will have to serve 50% of the sentence before being eligible for parole. In addition, the designation of a crime of violence can have significant impact on the status of the criminal as a habitual offender. Some of you have asked me why we chose the age of 7 on this bill, and the answer is quite simple. By the age of 7, the child is usually attending school full-time by that age and is outside that special circumstances of trust and care that are needed by younger children. This bill would allow us to take and put away child abusers until the child has reached the age where they're able to defend themselves and until they're out of the household attending school full-time. In addition, you'll notice under the first part of the section, the last few sentences, we restate existing law and we're not modifying the ability of a parent or a guardian to use reasonable force in the discipline of the child. We're going to have some tough votes this session, and I would suggest to you that House Bill 1051 is not one of them. I would urge your support for House Bill 1051. Thank you.
Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Noctegal.
I was reading your bill brief here, Representative McCauley, and a question comes to mind is, what is the recidivism rate of our parents that commit these crimes? You would,
Representative McCauley.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, Representative Noctegal. I do not have that information from the Department of Social Services. You'll recall from the judiciary testimony, I do not believe that was discussed in committee.
Representative Noctegal, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I think it's important that we visit this issue, that if we're going to increase the penalties arbitrarily, we need to know if the current penalty is doing the job. I think right now that there are 10 members in our penal system that are violators of this law. I wonder if it was an average of 6 to 8 years that they're spending in the penal system. And I wonder about the members that have been released. You know, if they got it figured out yet. So I guess I'd like to know that. So with that, I'd like to make a motion to defer for, three days, so we can find out what the recidivism rate is.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Comments on the motion?
Mr. Speaker,
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the body. Well, I'd ask you to resist Representative Nachtigall's motion. This bill has had a very thorough hearing before committee, before it was sent down to us on this floor. Further, if we should pass it out today, which is what I think we should do, and send it over to our colleagues in the Senate, it has an opportunity, in fact, it's required to have another full hearing before committee over there before it could be sent down to the Senate floor for final action. There's plenty of opportunities to answer Representative Nachtigall's question, but we're starting to get to that point in our session where the bills are going to be piling up on us, and we can't simply be deferring or delaying legislation to answer a question, especially after the bill has had the opportunity for a full debate and for a full discussion. Therefore, I respectfully request that this body resist Representative Nachtigall's motion, and we proceed on with this bill, pass it out over to the Senate. Thank you.
At this time, what I'd like to do is read the fiscal note before we go any further on the motion to defer. This is from the LRC on House Bill 1051. House Bill 1051 would likely result in some longer sentences, but there is no tracking of abuse cases that are distinguished by the age of the victim. Therefore, the fiscal impact of 1051, if any, cannot be determined. Further remarks on the motion to defer.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nachtigall.
Well, I'd just like to add, I hope you can support this motion to give a reason that, well, we're going to hear it over in the Senate. I guess I'm a representative because I trust the representatives a lot more than I do our senators. There's a lot more of us here, a lot more heads to come up with the answers. I don't think I'm asking for much here. I believe we're dealing out some prison system or prison penalties here, and I just think we need to find out if the current penalties that we've given are enough before we move forward. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none. The question for the House then is the Nachtigall motion to defer action on House Bill 1051 to the 13th legislative day, which would be Friday. Those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion fails. Further remarks on House Bill 1051? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nachtigall.
Well, since we're going to vote on this today, I guess I need to make some comments without all the information that I need. I certainly worry about these crimes that we do to our children. But as I voted on this in committee, and I'm not the, by all means, I am not the quickest thinker. And as I drove home, and a lot of these things run through my mind. But I believe Representative Brown's name was used yesterday, but we won't pick on him today. But if Representative Broderick was my son.
Better idea.
There we go. I'm at the end of a long, hard day, at the end of a long, hard month, at the end of a long, hard year. And my infant son is not doing what I'd like him to do. And I wish he would do what I'd want him to do. And that I get to the point where I'm so worked up because I can't get my son to do what I'd like him to do. And all of a sudden, you know, things start to come apart on me and I start to snap. And I'm right here. I got my hand up in the air and I'm ready to strike my son. Is the first thing that's going to go through my head is, well, this was a class 4 felony, it's going to be a class 3 felony. Oh, I guess I'm not going to strike my son. Thank you. I'd ask the members up in the gallery if I could, do you know the difference between a class 4 felony and a class 3? Probably not. It's 10 years for class 4. 15 years for Class 3. I don't think that goes through that parent's head when he commits this atrocious act. I don't think that is the reason that is going to be used to reduce this crime. Now, the governor had some parenting classes here last week. They're very informative. We've learned so much on parenting over the last 30 years. So much of parenting is what we were, that we're products now of what of our parents were. It's more likely, it's been shown in studies, that if we were a child of an abusive parent, we're more likely to be an abuser ourselves. Likewise with drug and alcohol. But what I contend on this is that we're not addressing the issue. I'm for these parenting classes. And before we move ahead on this, I would certainly hope that my original question could be answered before we pass this to the Senate. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Michaels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I do appreciate Representative Nachtigall's thoughtfulness and his reflection on this issue, because he and I have dealt with it for a number of the last few years on judiciary, and I know personally that his passion is genuine. I would point out to the members of the House of Representatives, though, that in the scenario that was described, to the extent that that could be determined to be reasonable, the statute that is referenced there that says that it would not be felony child abuse is 2218.5, and it states in part that's relevant that it's not unlawful to use force towards the person by a guardian or parent or even a teacher if it is done in a reasonable manner and to a moderate degree. Now, not totally within what Representative Nachtigall was talking about, but this truly is an exception to the rule. One, two, the Class 3 felony is a maximum. It isn't a minimum. It's not a minimum sentencing. It's just allowing the judge that much more latitude in an area where children who are even more vulnerable from 7 years and below, that the judge can make that determination if convicted. We're talking about a conviction. And I just can tell you, and I know there is no one here that supports felony child abuse or pedophilia, but from experience in prosecuting these offenses, it is my estimation that this is really the most vulnerable of the vulnerable age groups, and that we do provide an exception. Thank you.
Further remarks, House Bill 1051. Hearing none. The question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 1051. Those in favor vote aye, opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members proceed to vote on House Bill 1051. Representative Siebert.
Up in the balcony to my left is some people from my district, Emory, South Dakota. The superintendent of schools, Dean Christensen, and his daughter's with him today. Really a little sweetheart. And Dr. Herbert is a veterinarian in the Emory area. Would you please
Welcome.
Stand, please?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Sigistead.
Point of personal privilege, please.
Granted.
Mr. Speaker and members of this body, on behalf of Representative Hansen and myself, I'm proud to have the senior government class from Bristol High School here. Accompanied them is their instructor, Mr. Lauren Lutz, the bus driver, Bob Moynihan, Rick and Sue Wattier, and my wife, Ava. Would you please stand? And they are standing, most of them, but I want to give you a couple things about Bristol High School. Last year, they were the highest scoring class in the state in their SAT tests, and all 18 of the class members plan on attending at least a two-year vocational technical school or an accredited four-year university. This class is a product of a successful small school system. Let them be an example of what is possible when a small community invests its resources wisely and economically. Let's give them a nice
Welcome.
Hand. Thank you.
Representative Davis. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 68, nays 2.
House Bill 1051, having received majority vote of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.